Dear Johnny, this is a ballad I wrote a few years back. I don't know if you're looking for this kind of stuff, but anyhow, here it is. It's a long time since I saw you last.
Well, that's Steve Goodman, and I'm in here with Roger Badish. It is not a long time since I've seen him last. I see him every Sunday. I see him on Facebook. I talked to him occasionally about the book that we've been talking about for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And what happened Friday, I was at a dinner party and having a nice conversation about politics and sports and everything. He goes, you know what? I'm meaning to ask you. I go, okay, yeah. What's the status of Roger Badish's book? And so I start to try to tell them, because I do know, kind of. I know you finished parts of it, and it's been...
Yeah.
But Roger Badish, in answer to your legion of fans out there, what's the status of your book?
I'm in the final editing, semi-final, because I'm sure the editor, Rick's editor, will go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I'm editing it. I've cut out 68 pages so far. I'm still in the first chapter. But as I've mentioned to you for a couple of weeks now, I have found focus. I have found purpose in actually going back. It is completely done. Before I came here to work tonight,
yeah.
I told my wife, I says, you know, I don't think anyone really believes that I've written anything.
I swear to you, that was the sort of vibe I got off this person's dinner party. And I go, how do you know about the book? He goes, well, you and Roger seem to talk about it with some frequency, but I haven't heard it mentioned in a while.
Yeah.
You know why? I'm not even going to mention your name, but you know why? Because he's been writing it. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to go to him every 5 minutes and go, how many pages did you do today?
Yeah, right.
It was
a massive undertaking on my part.
I'm not going to call it arduous, but it was arduous, wasn't it?
It was very arduous. Yeah. There were three things got in the way.
Life.
Yes. Desire, because again, as we've discussed here a number of times, and both on and off air, who the heck wants to know about my life? We won't get into that further discussion. I'm past that.
Good.
Five people have shown interest in buying the book, so I'm good with that.
Well, he's got a publisher.
Yeah, we have a publisher.
Don't let him be so self-effacing. The publisher is Eckhart's Press,
right?
Run by, among others, Rick Kampfer, was on the air recently. He and I talked about the book too.
Right.
You saw him.
In fact,
when he was
Rick
in
came
there.
To me. That's the
exactly
initiation of the book. He came to me. He did an article on me in the Illinois Entertainer magazine a number of years ago, and I was surprised that anyone wanted to talk to me at that point. And then. But he was going off of what I'd been posting on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he thought, you are some kind of, I don't want to say special, but he was moved by some of the stuff I wrote about teaching and things that I went through in life and everything. And his questioning made me think about my life because I go through every day like it's a regular day. It's
of
not
course.
Special. I don't see anything that some people like yourself, because you have been a strong backer of me finishing
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And
my only fear, I'll tell you one of the fears I have, and who knows where this half hour would go, but one of the fears I had is it one thing, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people, you know, sort of start to write biographical materials on Facebook. And Facebook is one thing.
Right.
And you get five people saying, loved it, love, like, love, like, love, like, keep going, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But it is vastly different. Then Facebook is not a book, even though it's called that.
It's a page.
John Cusack, who this book that he's written, the priest who was just on, Never Be Ordinary Wisdom from My Father, actually started as a kind of Facebook thing. And then what he told me, he goes, Rick, I had no idea. I had to refine it. I had to expand it. You found that to be true.
In fact, that was the original idea I had for the book.
Yeah.
I was going to take my post out of Facebook and use it to highlight those points in my life.
Yeah.
I did that and then found there were things missing, especially when I was going through the cancer. There were a lot of things I didn't post.
Yep.
Not only that, first, I don't know if it's a Facebook algorithm or something about it. I'm not smart enough to know about that technical stuff, but I got the feeling as I started going back through all of my pages that there were things that I thought I wrote that aren't there. And so I wasn't sure if they disappeared or or if I'm not thinking right and maybe I didn't write anything.
Or you were thinking of these things as you were writing something and then didn't continue.
Could have been. Wow. And there were some times where I remember, you know, I would write those missives on Facebook early in the mornings before I'd go to work, before I went to teaching, in the kitchen, and that's along my computer, which is very old, is a long way away from where our internet connection is, and so every so often the computer would freeze up and I'd lose everything. I would write for like 45 minutes, suddenly the great ideas came to me, I'd write 45 minutes and all of a sudden, gone. And I'm like, whatever, you know, and just move on.
What about a writing rhythm? You must have at one point gotten into a kind of, because all sorts of writing is different. News writing is different than newspaper writing, is different than script writing, is different than book writing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm finding that. And I thought, though, you know, I'm a pretty good writer when I write the news. I can put together a 10-second story with all the pertinent details in 5 seconds. I'm exaggerating it a bit, but I'm very good at that.
I get it.
And I thought, well, that's going to make writing the book easier because I have that talent.
Uh-huh.
No.
Completely different muscles.
My gosh. Yeah. So not only did I take the wrong tact about, I took the correct tact about finding the stuff from Facebook and making that.
Right.
But then as I wrote it,
that became a kind of skeleton for
a
you.
A skeleton. And I'm thinking, there's more to this. And one of the big things, those three things, which I now forgot the other one, but one of the big things was as I tried to put more detail, because I'm writing, I'm thinking, I need to make the reader understand what I'm going through at this moment. So the more detail, the more they'll understand, which I'm wrong on a lot of cases. So as I started looking for the detail, I go, wait a minute, when did that happen? What day of the week was that? Do I remember the call letter correctly? Who's the guy I worked with? Because it's been a while.
Yeah.
So the majority of the time I've been writing this, I've been researching and contacting people.
Yeah.
And looking things up, thank goodness for the internet, or else they would have lost me in the library.
But also in doing that research, thereby refreshing your own memory.
Exactly, which triggered other stuff.
Yep.
Which is like, ooh, that's something someone might be interested in, or that's an example of what Rick had come to me about. And so it turned into several 10,000 volumes of Harry Potter.
Yeah. And no, I remember when you came to me, you came to me one Sunday night in here and said, well, I finished chapter 7. And I go, okay, well, that's great. You go, Rick, it's like 60,000 words. I don't know what I'm going to do. We're talking to Roger Badish, the great newsman here, but a man who has had a fascinating life. We'll continue on after a short commercial break. And maybe we'll give away the title. That's totally up to Roger. It is called...
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
I'm
not
going to
out the title. Yeah, we got it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll be right back. My guest, Roger Badish, on this last segment of After Hours, is talking about his soon-to-be fully born memoir. Are you calling it, Roger, a memoir or an autobiography? That's always an interesting...
Wow, it's never thought of that.
Yeah.
Technically, it's an autobiography.
Yeah, it is.
But
it seems...
I think it's more than that because that's what Rick saw in what
we're talking
about
Rick Camphor at Eckhart's Press.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. It's the story of my life up to now, but I'm trying to edit out the oh, and on Monday I went shopping. I'm trying to get rid of that.
Well, that sounds like a wise idea.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I'm just trying to now focus on those moments that identify with the theme and the title of the book.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at those moments that most people would look in me and after hearing it and look at and my reaction to it and look at me and say, are you nuts? Why didn't you do this? Why mm-hmm. didn't you see that? How could you be so blind to what was happening? And that's kind of the gist of the book.
Yeah.
As I started thinking about all those incidents that Rick and even you
sure.
have told me, well, you know, that was a teachable moment. That was a
no question.
That was an emotional thing or a life-changing thing. And I'm going, I guess. And I think...
Well, it's hard to be, as you were saying earlier, it's hard to be as you're going through life, take the moments to start reflecting mm-hmm. about, you know, well, that was really interesting going to Harold Washington's apartment and hooking up his stuff and even working for Harold and being the only person held over from the Jane Byrne administration.
Right.
I mean, that stuff is fascinating, but you didn't at the time have
exactly.
a chance to rationalize it.
Yeah. And so those thoughts, those rationalizations came out later after the internet and Facebook.
Sure.
And you know, I've only been on Facebook like 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
So all those years prior to that, there's no record except photographic record.
Right.
And my memory,
yeah.
which is...
Well, but also, you know, as you were saying, the memories of others who were in
exactly.
your circle. You've had a number, what has made your life particularly fascinating is you've had a number of different circles of life.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching life, the radio life, mm-hmm. the political life, the, you know, Las Vegas life.
But again, all of those were not planned.
Yeah, I know.
Not a single one was planned.
Well, I know, that's what I love about it.
And it's like, oh, okay, I can do this now, and I'll go ahead and do this, and... I'm lucky, knock on Formica, I'm lucky that everything that I've done, with the exception of being a mover when I was, you know, in college,
yeah.
working for a moving company, which lasted like a month, like, you want me to back my,
I want
break
that
my
chapter.
Back on this?
I want
what?
That chapter.
Yeah, right. I don't want to say I've been successful at, but I've been... in a position to be able to do good for others.
Gotcha.
Not that I meant to, mm-hmm. because in the process, all I thought I was doing was my job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people go through life, and you have, amongst all of my modern day associates, you, over the years... have been one of the most prevalent to point out to me the effect that my just living has had on other people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in this world are like that. You don't know the influence, good or bad,
right.
that you have had on other people because we're so busy, we have the blinders on about just
going
through
life. We're so busy giving that influence. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the gist of the book now. So the Facebook posts are becoming a part of it, but they're not the focus of it.
How long is the book?
Too long. Actually, as I was going to say, that's what my last question is. I was leaving the house tonight. I said, you know, I don't think anyone actually thinks I've written anything. I was going to bring, I've printed out the original first draft, which in order to carry it, I had to put in a shopping bag.
You have to be an 18-year-old mover again. Right?
Exactly. The thing is massive. I'm looking at 3 inches thick.
Has anyone else read the entire thing? Has your lovely wife?
No, she hasn't even read it. The only thing I've had anyone read, and it's only Bridget and Rick Kempfer, and that is the prologue and the introduction. Very short. Both of them very short. One of them, the prologue, is, if I can call it that,
yeah.
is a post that I did on Facebook from when I was going through the cancer.
Right, right. changed at all? Altered? Updated?
No, exactly as it was. Wow. Exactly as it was. Because, again, that was one of the early morning
you know,
Facebook writings that I did when the Spirit moved me. Then the second, the introduction is the idea behind the book and the title, and then thanking a ton of people for putting up with me. And I've gone through the first chapter. I'm still in the first chapter, and I cut out almost 70 pages from that. I'm like, you know, nobody needs to know.
Let me ask you, a technical question.
Yeah.
It's not as painful as one imagines.
No, now it isn't.
Thank you.
Now it isn't.
I so wanted you to say
it. It was after I wrote everything.
God,
I said,
sure.
I need to leave everything in there. I'll do a chapter a year.
My
chapter,
my 18-year, my month being a mover, it's got so important to my life. But you do realize once you've got it all down on paper, you realize.
And once I have found the focus.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest problem with not going back and doing it. I says, this Facebook focus is not working. I need to find a different focus, and I found it by realizing what I went through in each of these moments. And I'm hoping that it's a universal feeling, that I'm hoping when people read it, they will sit there and go, oh, yeah, I've been through this too. I know what he's talking about.
That's
and
great.
I'm hoping that's what this will be. And if it's an eye-opener for some people in their own lives,
sure,
God bless. If it's not, well, you're going to have a lot of good laughs when you read this, because there's a lot of stupid stuff that I did that fortunately or unfortunately were meaningful at the time.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't wait for this thing. I can't wait. When I hate to do this to you.
Right.
But we only have 2 minutes.
I'm hoping spring, just one spring of next year. Of the 2020. I'm hoping.
Hoping you will deliver the manuscript.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be available spring. I've got to find more time to keep editing. I have to be encouraged by what I've done so far.
I'm going to ask you, I mean, I know your lovely wife, Bridget, is would be kind no matter what. What did your editor, what did the editor publisher, Rick Camper, say of the preface or the introductory pieces that you've given him that you think are ready to go? What did he say?
So I'll give you what Bridget said.
Okay.
Because I told her, I says, clear your mind. You don't know me. You don't know who I am. I want you to read these two, the prologue and introduction. She read it, put it down, walked out of the room.
Oh, Christ.
Came back about 20 minutes later, sat down, and she said, you are one hell of a writer.
Oh.
And floored me. Because she's never read my stuff before.
Yeah.
She's not on Facebook. And
well, that makes her intelligence.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
And
that's
Rick
great.
Said, first of all, he said on the title, when I sent it to him separately, he says, perfect. I sent him the prologue and introduction. He says, this is exactly what I was looking for. Perfect.
Do you know how rare that is for a writer to get those kind of responses?
It's my first time. I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you, it's rare. Roger Badish, I will keep you, the listening public, and the people who bother me at dinner parties about Roger. I said, what about this Trump impeachment thing? Like, yeah, that's interesting. But when is Roger Badish going to finish his book? So I think, Rick Camper, if you're listening, you got a bestseller in your hands. Roger,
it's
an ongoing pleasure for me to live vicariously in this writing thing with you. It really
Thank you.
It
Thank
really
you,
is.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We got a couple commercials, and then we'll get some news.